Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's April the 3rd, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. And we'll discuss today's cash grain market with Bill Mayer. He's at the Grain Elevator located in Lexington. In agricultural news, USDA believes congressional negotiators are closer to paying for the farm bill than they are to making reform compromises. And land prices in the state of Illinois are up 4 to 5%. Since January. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Also in this half hour, we'll hear from the Illinois Farm Management Specialist. Do you know just how much more money can be made off an acre of corn rather than an acre of soybeans this year? Gary Schnitke has some interesting calculations. And don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with meteorologist Peter Levitt. He'll join us to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast right here on this edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580, a broadcasting service of the College of Media at Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby May wheat at $9.37, a half cent higher. July futures at $9.52.5, up 2 cents. And July of 09 at $9.45, unchanged for the day. May corn futures $6 even, up 4.25. July at $6.13.5, up 4.25 as well. And September futures up 6.25 at $6.14. December corn, $6.10.25. New crop settled, 7.25 cents higher. And December 2009 corn contract up 10.25 at $5.60.25. May soybean futures $12.57, up 14 for the day. July at $12.76, up 16.5. And the August futures at $12.68, 16 cents higher. November beans at $11.95.25, up 25.5. May bean meal futures at $3.33.20, up 2.20. July meal at $3.36.20, up $1.70. May bean oil at $55.37, 32 cents higher. July up 30 cents at $56.12 for the afternoon. CME Group live cattle, April contract $87.70, up $1.50. June futures at $89.07.5, up $1.52.5. And the April feeders at $98.70, $1.10 higher. May futures at $100.80, up $1.25. April lean hog futures settled at $57.62.5. They finished $2.25 higher for the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We want to thank the 188 listeners who called in or logged on and pledged them more than $25,000 during WILL's Power Hour this morning. And thanks also to those who contributed to the Member Match Fund. That amount will be doubled, by the way. So our tally will be more than $50,000 as we start our first full day of our Spring Fund Drive that begins tomorrow morning. Our goal is to raise a total of $200,000 by Tuesday night. So if you didn't get in during that Power Hour this morning, we'll be ready to take your call in the morning and tomorrow afternoon, of course, during the Closing Market Report. And thanks in advance. Here's the way the outside market's trading right now. May futures in the crude oil at $103.85 a barrel, or down 98 cents. The June futures there at $103.35, or down 93 for the afternoon. The CRB index is 22 higher at 391.60. And the dollar at 72.20 is down 0.05. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 12,636. It's up just about 30 points for the afternoon, and gold futures are trading the nearby April contract at $900.05, up $9.80, and the May futures at $907.10. They're up $9.30 on the afternoon. Here's what the forecast looks like for the two-state region from our own Mike Sola. He says tonight, cloudy skies, showers, and thunderstorms. Those will be most numerous in the south. Lows will range from 35 in northwestern Illinois to 52 in the southern parts of Indiana. Flash flood watches are in effect for southern Illinois and portions of southeastern Illinois and southwestern Indiana. That'll happen all the way through Friday afternoon. And a flood watch for portions of central and southern Indiana is in effect through Friday evening.
The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report online this afternoon to take a look at the agricultural markets. From ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, is Dan Zwicker. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
My apologies. Last week we had it was just operator error. There was a button out of place here on the board, and I didn't get you on. But this week you're here, so let's talk about the marketplace just a bit. What have you seen over the last 2 weeks?
Well, first thing, I think you have to kind of view the corn market as on generally solid footing to move higher. Now, we did have kind of a scary break here a week or so ago when the beans kind of tumbled pretty hard. But the corn market was, it didn't do any real damage at all to the break on the chart points on the downside. We did see some liquidation, and I think a lot of that was probably attributed to end of the month, end of the quarter type position squaring from the huge hedge and fund index crowd. Since then, of course, we've got the March 31st report came out with corn plantings at the lower end of trade ranges, trade expectations, and now what we have seen is price strength since then under the environment of rising open interest. So it does tell you that there is interest in owning corn. There is concern about future supply with the smaller acres, and I think increasingly concerned with kind of a slow start to planting. I know, you know, a few days of dry weather and sunny conditions can change things in a hurry, but at least at the moment, the weather forecast doesn't necessarily suggest that. It suggests more of the opposite. So I think the corn market's in pretty good solid footing. And we've talked about this $6 number, I think, for some time back when the first of the year when corn futures gapped higher right out of the chute on the first trading day of the year. If you use that gap as a measuring gap measured off of the fall low, that signaled a lead futures move up into the 607, 609 area. It suggested that December corn futures could climb on up into the 630 area. So I think for the most part, based upon what I see in the fundamental world as well as the technical world, it does look like those objectives now are pretty close to being realized. Now, there's higher objectives up there. If you wanted to kind of maybe use the correction that we had here in corn. Let's see here if I can find it on...
On December?
Yeah, well, I'll start here with the lead futures continuation chart. Kind of want to use the weekly chart and the kind of the correction we had from 572 down to 503 during that break here a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then you the midpoint of that would be somewhere around 537 and a half. If you would want to swing a move off of the fall low at 308.5, that puts a 766.5 objective on the table. I'm not necessarily going to tell you that's going there, but that's what chartists will be looking at probably if plantings, corn plantings begin to get delayed or seriously delayed. And whatnot. So I think, once we've attained the $6 level, if you want to be a buyer or a bull on corn, you at least got to have an upside objective to buy it. And I think you're going to hear increasing talk of, 750, 760 type corn futures.
That's just amazing. Will we maintain the 2-to-1 ratio at that point? Still for corn to soybeans?
Well,
which is what
that'll be
now.
Tricky because if corn would decide to kind of go up into that area, naturally that would suggest that a lot of it depends upon probably how it unfolds. But it would suggest that the corn market either has given up on buying additional acres of corn because we can't get them planted, or we just don't have enough acres around. And the function of the market then is to go up in ration supply, since we're going to produce a short crop next year. So a lot of it depends upon the timing when it occurs, whether it's going to occur this spring or later this summer, or if at all. I mean, we got to keep in mind these are just technical objectives. But if we decide to go there, it would be my guess that the market has given up on increasing supply and therefore needs to reduce demand.
Hmm. And then what kind of upside objective, again, might you have on beans if this takes place?
Well, the beans got to repair some damage first. We had a massive outside-down reversal off of record highs in the bean complex on the monthly chart. So this is kind of one in the kind. I've gone through the charts going back to the early 70s, and I can't find another one of these major outside down reversals off of a record high on the bean charts. And what I mean by an outside down is during the month of March, we exceeded the February high and low and closed on the lowest of the session, because we were limit down there on Monday after the report. So that's a huge reversal to the downside. I think the first thing we have to do is we're going to have to regain half of that back anyway, I think, before we could even begin to think that we're repairing the damage. And halfway back of that big decline here on the continuation chart, we had a 1571 with a low of about 1106, would be a move back above this 1318, 1320 area. I think if we would climb above that area, then I think it's made a major step in repairing that damage. But for now, I would have to respect that key reversal down off record highs as something that the beans have kind of hit a brick wall for now, and we're going to have something major change, I think, to go on up through the top. Now, export demand is excellent. This week's export sales were real good on beans. A lot of it is because of the Argentina-Brazil strike.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of business done this week. So next week's sales numbers expected to be very, very strong, but it'll be old news to the trade because we know that there's a lot of business done this week. That's going to probably depend upon weather. Like I told Dave this morning, at this point, probably, you know, what's bullish corn may be somewhat negative beans back and forth while we're in the planting season.
Thanks much, Dan.
Very well.
Dan Zwickers with ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, joins us on a Thursday afternoon to take a look at the markets from Chicago.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Lernard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Speaking of Dave Dickey, he's here now to take a look at today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, USDA Secretary Ed Schaefer says congressional farm bill negotiators are closer to finding funding sources to pay for $10 billion additional dollars in spending than they are to agreeing on reform issues. Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Tom Harkin.
I hope that in the next 48 hours we can nail down these funding sources and finally get it agreed to. And then early next week we can begin the process of going to conference and getting that done, and we can still meet the deadline if that happens.
The deadline is April 18th. Schaefer says that administration and congressional negotiators are split on how to divide money between direct payments and countercyclical payments. There are also differences on whether farmers should maintain ownership of grain after they receive loan deficiency payments. And Schaefer says the administration is not enthusiastic about increasing nutrition spending above $9.5 billion. That's a proposal from House Ways and Means Committee Chairman Charles Rangel. The CEO of Champaign-based Winchester Group estimates land prices are higher since January. Murray Wise estimates land prices are up 4 to 5% in Illinois. Wise says he has been buying land for clients in a range of $5,750 to $7,300. An auction last month brought a record $15,200 an acre on a 250-acre farm on the outskirts of Urbana, Illinois. Mexico is preparing to allow experimental production of GMO crops, although yesterday governmental officials said there is no firm target date for pilot tests. GMOs continue to be opposed by environmental and small farmer organizations. There have been requests for experimental growing permits for corn, cotton, soybeans, and alfalfa. But Mexico's Commission on Biosecurity and GMOs has yet to issue a permit. Lawmakers are questioning USDA's decision to award a $267 million broadband contract to Open Range, saying the loan represents 90% of the funds available in the fiscal year 2009 budget. House Agriculture Appropriations Subcommittee Chairman Rosa DeLauro says there are questions of whether USDA's Rural Development Office can manage a project of that size. Open Range says it will provide broadband services to 518 communities in 17 states. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL, Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find MP3 files to listen to, a way to sign up to hear them as podcast, automatically downloaded to your computer each and every day, and a really good newsletter. It's over on the right-hand side of the page, delivered to you each and every weekend. Just hit subscribe. Like everything else, it's absolutely free, although maybe tomorrow we'll ask you for a little financial help. Stay tuned for that one as well. Now, up next, there's a new Farm Economics Facts and Opinion paper out from Illinois' Farm Doc team. It takes up the historic and projected returns from corn versus soybeans. The FEFO, Farm Economics Facts and Opinions release, can be summarized pretty easily. It says Illinois farmers should plant more corn this year.
That's pretty much it. Obviously, we've seen the planting intention report and corn being down, and that caused a market reaction. But even before then, we've been doing budgeting on corn versus soybeans for 2008. And what we find is that corn is projected to be much more profitable than soybeans over all areas of Illinois for 2008.
That's Gary Schnitke. He's one of the co-authors of the paper. You can read it online at www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu.
We've looked at corn returns and soybean returns, and what we basically found was that in the southern part of Illinois, corn is projected to be more profitable than soybeans by $190 an acre. And you go into central Illinois for high productivity farmland and you're finding differences close to $300 an acre. That's based on updated cost and basically a $400 non-line cost per acre for corn, something less than that for soybeans. And prices right now, we used $5.30 for corn and $10.30 for soybeans.
The price ratio there is much more important than the actual price. It's about 2 bushels of corn for every bushel of soybeans. Usually that ratio is more like 2.5 to 1. And because it takes fewer bushels of corn to replace a bushel of soybeans and to make the same profit, it is then more profitable to plant corn.
That's right, and that has caused corn to be more projected to be more profitable than soybeans. To give you a little feel for how big those differences are, FBFM recently released their cost estimates or return estimates for 2007. In 2006 and 2007, roughly corn has been more profitable than soybeans by $90 an acre. So we're looking at double and triple those margins compared to recent years, given current bid prices for corn.
And soybeans. So the corn planters in Illinois should keep rolling once they get started. Another note here, this one on crop insurance. If a farmer took federal crop insurance on corn and soybeans, all acres of each are covered no matter how they're split. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Champaign at 217-378-7633. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana campus at Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. We're joined now for a Thursday afternoon look at the cash grain market by Bill Mayer. He's with Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, Dan says possibility, at least on the charts, of 760 corn. He told us that a bit earlier, and that beans, I'm not sure that he was convinced that beans can go much of anywhere. I have a question for you, not about the 760 corn, but do you think this might be part and parcel of a reallocation of acres, not across just the U.S., but across the globe, so that we'll get a bump in the bean market in the fall as planters start to roll in South America, and we'll get the bumps in the corn market here in the spring as they try to buy acres on this part of the hemisphere, I guess.
Yeah, I guess I'm not sure, Todd, that we can wait for the South American crop with the ratio we've got. I guess the reaction I've seen from my customers over the last 4 or 5 days since the report is I'm seeing some interest in increasing corn acres if they can get the nitrogen, if the weather will allow them to get in the field. I think the market's kind of done its job here. It's, you know, evidently we didn't have the prices to get the corn acres before the report, but we've changed that ratio enough that I think we've done it here.
And are they, have the doors locked on the old crop still at this point?
No, we're actually one of the things we've been busy today trying to, get some more old crop sales made, not necessarily finishing up, but trying to get her down to where we have just maybe one more increment to sell. So at least from the people we've been talking with, we're seeing some sales being made.
And you're thinking, obviously, that's the right thing to do for old crop corn. How about soybeans?
Soybeans, we're pretty well down to just a fairly small amount left, and we're not doing anything. We had to sell single on the corn, but not on the beans right now.
And your bids there in Lexington, Illinois are?
Cash corn, 563, new crop, 550, cash beans, 1192, new crop, 1125.
Any final word for the day?
No, I don't think so.
Thanks much, Bill.
Thanks.
Bill Mayer is with Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois. Joins us to take a look at the cash grain market each and every Thursday afternoon right here on the Closing Mark Report. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with Peter Levitt, agricultural meteorologist.
It's National Chocolate Mousse Day. The exact date of the first chocolate mousse recipe is unknown, but it's believed to be from the second half of the 1800s. The oldest U.S. print reference for chocolate mousse dates back to the October 7, 1892 edition of the New York Times. Dessert mousses, most often fruit, began to appear in numbers in the second half of the 19th century. By the way, food historians say the chocolate mousse was promoted in the U.S. about the same time as chocolate pudding mixes. On this day in agricultural history in 1829, James Carrington of Connecticut patented a coffee mill. Carrington was widely known as a machinist, and he served as shop foreman of Eli Whitney's gun manufactory. In 1825, he resigned his position and established his own foundry, which made coffee mills and razor scraps. In 1845, on this date, William James Farrer was born. An Australian agriculturalist, he developed several new varieties of drought and rust-resistant wheat that made possible the great expansion of Australia's wheat belt. The result was an average wheat yield gain of 3 bushels to the acre between 1900 and 1920. And in 1974, on this day, was the largest single-day outbreak of tornadoes in recorded history. In all, there were 148 tornadoes in 13 states in 26 hours. The outbreak included 6 F5 tornadoes and 30 F4 tornadoes. Damages were put at $3.5 billion. And that's this day in agricultural history.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Time to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast on a Thursday afternoon. As he always does, Pete Leavitt is with us today. Hi, Pete. How are you?
I'm fine, Todd.
How are the skies in your part of the world there in Massachusetts?
Oh, we're just sunny and seasonably cool.
We're seasonably cool and I suppose partly cloudy this afternoon, but it always looks like we've got rainfall on the horizon. What do you see?
Yes, we do. We have some showers in Iowa and then south through Missouri, all the way down to a low-pressure system and dropping southeastward in Oklahoma into Texas. There's a front from that low northeastward across southern Missouri and southern Illinois, which is still sinking a little south. Now, what all this means is that most of the action will be along and just north of that front over southern Illinois, and then will gradually shift on eastward to cover the Ohio Valley and part of the southeastern states over the next several days. But there's still a batch of rain that extends much farther north up into Iowa. That area of rain is going to shift on eastward across Illinois late today and tonight. Looks like two areas of significant rain, maybe up in the extreme northwestern Illinois, southern Wisconsin. The other area, as we said, down south. That all moves out of the way late tonight and tomorrow. And then it looks like a pretty decent weekend for a few days in there. We've got fair weather. Temperatures will get up into the 60s across the area on Saturday. And Sunday looks like a nice mild day, and Monday, too. Then the rains come back. Tuesday, late Tuesday into Wednesday, more shower activity. Thursday, another major system coming along for late Thursday, so we go back into a wet pattern. But we are going to see milder weather next week, temperatures above normal for most of the days, even as the rain develops, and a few days of respite to get some of those fields dried down.
A month and a half ago, we were talking about the continuing and probably every 7 days at that point, snow and precipitation kind of events that were coming through. Those have shortened up to 3 or 4 days. Are we still talking persistence?
Yes, we're still talking persistence. This is a wet pattern, which has shifted away from snow, of course, to rain as the temperatures rise. But now we have 2 7-day cycles, one that seems to occur on the weekends, although we're going to get by this time, and the other about latter part of the middle of the week, say Thursdays and Fridays. And I think these are just going to go on for a while. We're going to see excessive moisture, especially in the eastern Corn Belt states right down to the Ohio Valley. And this is going to be a problem even for developing winter wheat. Now, too much wet weather is not good for yields. It encourages disease. It's not going to be a very good pattern for getting that those yields up and the quality up as well. Farther west, I don't see things being quite as wet in the northwest, a little bit better there. Then as you get down into the southern plains, a drought in the western part of southern plains wheat may start to develop, but it's still pretty wet central and eastern portions.
Pete, we appreciate you being with us.
My pleasure.
Thanks much. That's Peter Levitt, meteorologist, joins us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast each and every Thursday right here on the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus at Illinois. Thanks for being along with us this afternoon. Have a safe afternoon, and if you're getting equipment ready to go, be safe doing that as well. I'm Todd Gleason.